Wow. You know, I don't know how you feel about this, but I'm really blessed with the people who come and get up here every Sunday and lead us in worship. And it took me a few minutes, but I caught on. At the beginning, I thought, who's our new worship leader? It just took me a second or two, but I figured out, hey, it's Ross. It's him. But you know what really amazed me is there were three guys up here. But did you see how they were surrounded by those four beautiful girls? Did you catch that? And I got to tell you, I don't know how you feel about it, but I get really excited about the Christmas season. Not that I'm not excited, but all year long. But there's something about the Christmas season that just really ignites within me something really exciting. Like I saw Orion, and I patted him on the back, and I said, "Orion, when's your next gig?" Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but Orion's in a band, and it's pretty heavy metal. But I have a son who was in a band that was pretty heavy metal. And so I said, "Hey, when's your next gig?" And he said, "January 28th. I said, "Where?" Or 27th, sorry. It's going to be in Prescott. And the first thing he looked at me, he said, "Well, the music's going to be pretty heavy." And I said, "Hey, man, I'm coming anyway. And my son's going to be here, Brandon. And I know Brandon's going to really love it." But you know, we are such a blessed people. We're very diverse. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, we come from literally all across the spectrum. Now, I know some of us have moved here to Prescott. We've retired up here, and you know, we bring with us a wealth of information because of what we've done in our lives, things that we've done. Young people up here, and I'm getting to know more and more. And by the way, young people, I finally got up the nerve on, I think it was Thursday, to invite a couple of young people to come to church. Now, I didn't know this when I was talking, but the first thing they said, "Oh, Shisha is one of the girls. And she only speaks Spanish. She's learning English." But when I invited her, she was really excited. And so I'm going to be subbing her again on Wednesday, so I'm going to have a chance to talk with her a little bit more. But what was really a blessing for me, and I didn't know this, is that she and her parents go to a Spanish ministry in Prescott. And so I was talking to them about the young people, how they meet, you know, and stuff. So she was just really excited. But the thing was, is there was a young girl sitting next to her, and she doesn't speak very much English either, but she kind of caught on what we were talking about, and she's, "Can I come too?" And it hit me. It really hit me that, and I've known this before, but it just struck me again that when we talk to people about opportunities when it comes to the church, some people want to hear more. They want to know more of what's going on. And I just am really, really excited about what God is doing, not just here in Prescott, but all over the world. Listen, you may or may not know this, but one of the countries where the church is growing the fastest right now is the country of Iran. The country of Iran. And I've been catching little bits and tidbits of what's going on in Iran. And if you have noticed anything, the people there are beginning to speak up. And of course, as you can imagine, the militaristic, well, actually they're theologically led, you know, I'm trying to think of the word, but anyway, they're killing their own citizens as they're speaking out against, you know, wanting to have more freedom. But anyway, it really dawns on me that the church in Iran is growing so quickly. But what was really amazing is way back when Sandy and I were serving in Japan, the fastest growing church at that time, this would have been in the early 70s through that decade, was the church in South Korea. And today, some of the largest congregations in the world can be found in South Korea. It's amazing. We kind of get caught up in our own little area, our own little world. But when we allow ourselves just to hear what's going on in the rest of the world, and I'm talking spiritually right now, God is moving in a mighty way. And it just excites me so much, especially in this season where the birth of Jesus is talked about so much. And as you know, Pastor Will started speaking through the book of Romans. Romans, this letter that Paul writes to the church in Rome is very unique because it really does cover many, many different things. But the church in Rome was a very diverse church made up of both the Jewish founders and Gentiles that had come together, and they're learning to live together and to worship together and to grow spiritually together. And Paul has many exciting things that he talks about in Romans. And then he comes to the 14th chapter. And last Sunday, I shared with you a little bit about that, about how we ought to see others not so much differently than ourselves, even though they may think differently, they may interpret Scripture differently, but you have to understand also, in the early church, the early believers didn't have the Bible that we have. It's really by the word of mouth that people are coming and sharing about the birth of Christ, his life, his death, and what that means to you and I today. And what I want to share with you today is about Christ becoming the Lord of all. Truly, he is the Lord of all. And we who are set in our cultural ways, you know, we sometimes forget that there are a wide, vast variety of cultures out there whom Christ is making himself known, and people are coming to know him within their own cultures. And I'm a person, you know, Sandy and I were very fortunate to have the opportunity to not just travel a lot around the world, but to actually live in foreign countries and visit foreign countries and have friends in those countries. But we were very struck by the fact that, culturally speaking, people come to a relationship with Christ within their own cultures. And when you look at the early church, there are, again, diverse cultures. You and I, we get in our vehicles and we travel to Phoenix, or we travel to Flagstaff, or we travel different places. We even go across the country. But you have to realize, in the early church, people rarely even left their own towns or villages. Where they were born and raised and died was a very tight area. So people diversely didn't really have an understanding. The church in Rome, they may have known about Jerusalem, but they really didn't have an idea or a concept of what was truly happening within Jerusalem. And it all starts with the birth of Jesus. Not that it hadn't started in the covenant with Abraham. And I could spend a lot of time speaking on that, but I want to talk to you about Christ. His coming was to be the Lord, not of just a few, but of all. And so I'm going to read this rest of this passage in Romans, but then I want to focus on a few passages of Scripture within the 14th chapter, beginning with verse 9. But if you would, follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, or if you like to read your Bible, or if you have your phones or whatever, I'm going to be reading out of Romans chapter 14, beginning with verse 9. For this end, Christ died and lived again. Now think of the birth of Jesus Christ, the beginning of his life. But good news is, Christ lives today. That he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. You know what's really unique about this passage of Scripture that really inspires me is, even though you and I have no concept of that outside of breathing and eating and living and walking on this earth, that there is a spiritual realm in which Christ is Lord of all. And someday we'll concept it, it will be explained to us, and we'll understand. But he is the Lord of both the dead and of the living. Let's go to the next verse. Do we miss 10? Okay, why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we all stand before the judgment seat of God. Now, here's where it really gets important for all of us to listen. Let's go to verse 11. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess to God. Now, by the way, that passage of Scripture comes out of Isaiah chapter 45. I think it's verse 23. But let's move on, because I want to share with you. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. Wow, is that not powerful? Think about that for a second. Let that soak in. Because when I walk out of this sanctuary, when you walk out, even within it, you know, one of the things that we struggle with in our life is not to be a stumbling block for other people, but to be encouragers, people who want to lift up and build up one another, to encourage them and spur them on to love. Pastor Will, when he was sharing with us before going on sabbatical, he said, I have such a heart, God is leading me, I have such a heart that we more than ever before understand what it is to be family and what it is to love one another. And one of those things is God, and help me, hey man, you know, you've all heard this before, when you point at somebody, just remember, three fingers are pointing right back at you, is the fact that when we're out in the world and we see something that somebody does that we struggle with, let us do our best not to be a hindrance to that person, but to love them. Let's move. I know that I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. Now, what is that saying? Here we go. You ready? Young people, I want you to listen to me, because you probably struggle with this more than maybe some of us older ones. When I was a kid growing up, my father was an alcoholic. He died of alcoholism when I was a junior in high school. Life was not pretty. One of the greatest things, if those of you who really know me, you know I love to meet people. I was like that when I was in school too. One of the things that devastated me was the fact that I never, ever wanted to invite my friends over to my house, because I never knew what it would cause if my father came home. Our refrigerator, you know, a lot of you open your refrigerator and it's got soda or the good drinks, or, you know, you open the cupboards and you have cookies. If you're a parent, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you never know when somebody's coming over, but you want to be prepared if at all possible. And you opened my refrigerator at my house when I was a kid growing up, and it was full of cheap wine, maybe a little beer. But the thing that was lacking was food. That's the life that I kind of grew up with. Why do I tell you? When I look at that passage of Scripture, I know I'm persuaded of the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it unclean. When I went into the ministry, by the way, I never drank. Partly, number one, is because I saw what it did to my dad. And I had just enough sense to know that if my father couldn't control it and hold it, possibly I couldn't either. And I just never went there. But I did have a stability in my life that maybe some of you had too. I was very actively involved in sports. And our coaches always drilled in our minds, guys, you're going to run for me? I don't ever want to see a cigarette. Remember how the, in our day and age, they used to roll the cigarettes up in their sleeves? Remember that, guys? Remember that? We at my high school, we had Smoker's Corner. Did you have that around your high school, too? You know? And our coach drilled in our mind, hey, if you're going to run for me, these are things you don't do. You don't smoke. If I see you smoke, you're gone. And you don't drink. Number one, because you're not of age. And number two, it has an effect that it's not going to make you the best athlete that I need you to be. As I grew up, I thought about that, but why do I not drink? Now, I have two sons. One of them brews beer. And the other one likes to drink it. And all the time, here, Dad, and a matter of fact, somebody brought some beer to our house. I can't remember who. How long did it sit in our room? I don't know. It finally went bad. But anyway, the reason when kids say at school, they'll say, hey, Mr. Irwin, do you drink beer? I tell them, I say, no, I don't. Mr. Irwin, have you ever done drugs? No, I haven't done drugs either. Oh, yeah, you're a Christian. Because my kids always knew that I was a Christian. I never held that back from them. And I said, hey, hold it, guys, girls. No. I mean, I will admit, as a believer, that is true. But let me tell you why I don't drink and I don't smoke. It's because of what I saw it do to my own dad. And I don't go into a big story about it, but my father, I just said, my father was an alcoholic. I just never went down that road. I just, you know. But now, as a Christian, because there were two sides, as a Christian, let me tell you why I don't drink and I don't smoke. Because people are looking at me. People look at me. And if I had the freedom to go out to a bar or whatever, you know. Now, I go to bars. When my son was playing, now I'm supporting, but I don't drink. And the reason I don't drink is because I have this thing in the back of my mind. If somebody saw me, oh, there's Mr. Irwin. Oh, man, he's drinking. It must be okay. And they were to drink and not be able to control it. And I later found out, man, that would devastate me. That would just devastate me. And it's not that it's for me, because anybody who drinks or smokes or whatever, vapes or, you know, hey, that's their thing. And I would never condemn them, nor would I say, hey, because you do that, God ain't going to love you, because that's so untrue, isn't it? What did Jesus do at that wedding with the water? Turn it into wine. Was it the cheap stuff or the best? You guys, girls, look. Everything that is made of God. Everything. But it's the way that we use it that affects us. And therein lies the problem. And without Christ, it's like there's no boundaries. But with Christ, if God says, hey, you know, if my son brews some beer, I know what he's going to do. He's going to bring a bottle over. Christmas is coming. Dad, you got to taste this. And I do. And I tell, oh, son, this is really good. And he does. He's really good at what he does. But he knows me. He knows where my heart is. He doesn't say, hey, Dad, I brought you a couple bottles. No, he just, hey, Dad, here. And he gives me his cup to sip a little bit because he knows I don't drink. And he knows why. Yep. Whom he never got to meet, by the way. But I'm telling you, it's not up to me to tell my sons or anybody else what they should or shouldn't do. It has nothing to do with the love of Jesus toward us. Some of us who's grown up in the church is looking, remember, you couldn't play cards. I didn't grow up in the church. I went to college, and on this college campus, I went, no face cards. What? Can't play cards, can't drink, can't smoke, can't dance. The school my wife, the university my wife went to, you had to wear dresses to class or they didn't let you in. But my point being is, look, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean only for those who feel that it's unclean. So if it's unclean for you, then avoid it. But don't force your opinion on anybody else. It's not your job. It's not what you need to do. Now, when you're raising children, parents, do you have an opportunity to speak into their lives? Josh, you have two kids. You have an opportunity, Jackie. You speak into their lives. Anybody remember what the word of the Lord says? Teach your children in the way that they should go, and pray that they what?
Go that way.
And don't depart from it. When we have children, we speak into their lives, but then they become adults, and we still love them. Which one of us in this room, if we had a daughter or a son, and Tim and I were talking about this just yesterday, if we had a son or a daughter who were struggling, even as adults, would we just abandon them? Would you just abandon your son or your daughter because you disagree with something that they were doing? Or would you do everything within your power to love them and to show that love? What would you do? Would you? Yes. None of us in here who love our children would just abandon them because they're doing something that we disagree. No, we love them. And we're going to do whatever we can to support them and encourage them. And for some of us, even when we do that, tragedy still hits. And our lives are devastated. But I'm going to share something with you in this message that I pray will encourage you and lift you up. And I'll share that in just a few moments. Let's move to the next passage. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. But by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. Hey, look, if I love meat and I invite somebody to my home who's a vegetarian, what's the worst thing I could do? Serve meat, right? Worst thing I could do. But I'm going to be sensitive. I'm not going to put them down and say, hey, what you're eating is... No. I'm going to do everything I can to encourage them, to love them. And how many of us in this sanctuary right now have had people to our homes? And before they come, we ask them, what do you like to eat? If you invite me to your home, it's spaghetti. Not so much for my wife, but for me, it's spaghetti. Let's go to the next passage. So, do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It has nothing. I love Paul in this. He's talking about what you eat or drink. He's telling us it has nothing, absolutely nothing to do with our Christ. Rather, it's righteousness and peace and joy. If we are a family of God, that's what it's all about. That's what we need to do. Peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by man. Let's continue on. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Wow, is that powerful? Go on. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. You know how I interpret that? Don't let petty things get in the way of loving God. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Go on. The faith that you have kept between yourself and God, blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. Now, you know what that really is saying? What I think is right for me, it's right for me. But it may not be right for Ross or for Grace. And it's not up to me to pass that on to you unless you ask. Look at 23. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Here's what that's saying. Hey, guys, girls, if it's wrong for you, don't do it. If it's wrong for you, don't do it. When I was a teenager, I worked at a gas station, and I had the night shift. I closed up, and it got pretty lonely sometimes. But that was a day when you actually, when somebody pulled up, you go put gas in their car, wash their window, check the oil, you know, things like that. Funniest thing ever happened to me when I was working at a gas station. It was really busy, and I opened the hood. Guy asked me to check his oil. You check his oil for him. And I was just running all over the place, and he says, hey, here. He was court low, and he says, here. You know, it's the old kind. Remember the round can you push it in, you know, the thing? And he said, you go help. I'll put the oil in. And I was helping people, and they were driving and coming and going. I kept looking at this guy, and he just was there for the longest time. Finally, I got a free moment. I walked over there. He had taken that can of oil, and he was pouring the oil down the dipstick hole. He didn't know anything about cars, and I didn't have time to tell him, and I'm doing everything I can not to laugh. But he was almost done. And when he left, hey, I thanked him for allowing me to, you know, and I wasn't even a Christian then, never even going to church. I couldn't wait to tell my boss the next day. But the things in life that bring joy to you without harming others, go for it. God will love you. But don't take your ideas and force them on others. Again, as parents, we want to speak into the lives of our kids. We want to do everything we can to spend that time to share with them how God is moving within us. But there comes that time, and we all know it, when our children leave. But we love them anyway. Okay, with that being said, I'm going to make this really fast. There are four things that really struck me about this passage of Scripture, if I can share it with you. The first is found in starting with verse 9. I want to talk about the fact that Christ is truly the Lord of all. And I want to read that passage to you one more time. For this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord both of the dead and the living. Let's continue. Why do you pass judgment on your brother, or why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. And then look at this, what it says. For it is written, Paul's telling us, they had their Bibles in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 45. It was verse 23, by the way. It is written, as the Lord says, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue confess to God, verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You know what's really exciting about living a life with God? Is that we don't need to be dependent. I don't need to be dependent upon Jim to go to God and say, hey, I knew that guy, when he's before the Lord someday. Or that I say, oh yeah, Jim, yeah. I don't need to do that. That's not up to Jim, nor is it up to me. It's between us and God. But here's the good news. God loves us. I've talked to people who never go to church, you know, who believe in God. I have cousins that I met for the first time a couple years ago. And on Facebook, you know, they talk about, will you pray for me? Will you, you know, we do. And I don't say, well, if you start going to church, I will. No. I let them know, man, I got your back. I've got your back. And I'm trusting my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to speak into their hearts. And I love them more than ever before. When I'm on campus and I see these kids and what they're going through in their lives, did you know that one in every seven kids on campus are poor? So if I have a classroom of, say, you know, I don't know, 21 kids, I know three of them are living in poverty. And I'm very careful to say, hey, what are you getting for Christmas?
Maybe nothing.
Maybe nothing. You never know. The point being is this. You know the real meaning of Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ was born that we might have life, have it abundantly and full of joy. Man, there's coming a day, and we all know this, especially those of us who are getting older, what we've accumulated in our life, you know, everything that we have, we come to the realization, right, Mary? In a few years, yep, you're not, but are you really? But Mary, all those things that have been accumulated in life, is it not the most important thing that you see that your children, that your grandchildren love Jesus?
And your
great-grandchildren. You see, for those of us who have come to the realization that things mean nothing without Jesus, that's what it's all about, because he loves all of us. I want to take another passage of Scripture. It's in Romans. It's 14th chapter, verse 13. I call it the true path. We'll put that Scripture up. Therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. You know what the path of Jesus Christ is? It's not to condemn, but to love. That's the real path. The true path of Jesus Christ is this, that you love one another as I have loved you. Is that not simple? Thank you, Lord, for coming to this earth and being born. And, oh, man, it's phenomenal about what Jesus did for you and me. Oh, and by the way, I have to go back to, don't change the slide or anything, but going back to that passage that comes out of Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, in relation to every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. Don't you find it ironic thinking about it? And the elders are going to read on Christmas Eve night, the elders are going to, we're going to divide up the Christmas story to read to all. But isn't it ironic that the shepherds came and kneeled and confessed in their words the birth of Jesus Christ? Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And then we don't know the exact timeline exactly, but the Magi who came knelt and gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. And what did they do? They bowed and confessed. This is the Lord. It was demonstrated before us. So what is the true path? The true path is to lift up and to love. Then the third, I call it the road of peace. It's the 19th verse, Romans 19th, if we could have that verse. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Now, I've read this in different passages, and one of the passages that I found was instruction, the word edification within that passage of Scripture. Some of you are looking at your Bible and say, yeah, that's what my Bible uses that. And what is it to edify somebody? It is this. The instruction, parents, this is cool. When I was a parent, I wish somebody pointed that out to me even more. The instruction or improvement of a person's morality and intellectual understanding. I changed the reading of that, my take on it. Morality and the intelligence of people. You guys, girls, what is it in life? I don't know about you, but morally speaking, I'm far from the best. I want to improve. Intellectually, the more I know, the more I don't know. But if I can pass it on, Lord, help me to pass on what little bit I do know. And I do know this, Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. Our Savior, our Lord, who forgives us and doesn't, you guys, when he forgive, if this little notepad had all my sins, which it would be a really big book, if it had all my sins, all the things that I should have done that I didn't do, when Jesus Christ became Lord of my life, it was gone. If I were to see him, Lord, I screwed up, I messed up, he's going to look right in my eyes and he said, what are you talking about? What? Who? I don't have any recollection that you did that. That is the forgiveness of Jesus Christ who came and was born and died for us. And the last one is verse 22, allowing Christ to love all. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Don't push it on somebody else. Don't sit there and say, hey, you ought to believe this way. What? Where are you at? No. Let it be between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself or anybody else of what he approves or disapproves of. For you see, the reality of it is that Jesus Christ loves us all for who we are. Do you realize, do you comprehend, I mean really comprehend that before you were ever in the womb of your mom, God knew you. He knew you. He loved you. It's hard for me to comprehend, but that's the love of God for us. That's the reason for the birth of Jesus Christ. Paul knew that when he was writing this letter to the church in Rome. And if you go back, you reread it, you will see over and over and over again, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All it takes are the words, Father, forgive me. That's all it takes. It's so simple. Why are we as believers so hard on one another when it's so simple to love him? And we are commanded, as I have loved you, love one another. Father, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. Father, for leaving the awesomeness of heaven and being born on this earth that we might have life, that we might have it abundantly and have it full of joy. Father, let us encourage one another, never forcing our way on anybody else, but just loving them for who they are and knowing that just as the shepherds bowed at that lowly manger and looked upon the eyes of their Savior, and the angels in heaven sang, and just as the Magi came traveling so many miles to give their gifts to whom you, Lord, had revealed to them as their Savior, their King, their Lord. Father, we are oftentimes so busy during this season, but everything that we do, let us remember we do it because of what you did for us. Thank you, Lord. I thank you for the family of God, not just in this church, but all across the world. People who, Father, are worshiping you and being blessed by you. Father, we know there are those out there that they may not agree with us. They may disagree with the fact that there is even a Savior. But Lord, we can't control that, but we can have a say in it. So let us never be afraid or ashamed to say, I am a child of God. Thank you, Jesus.